Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 23rd of August 2009 and the time is 3:15 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
Hi, my name's Andrew John Coates. I'm 44 and I'm from Doncaster.
Lovely. And how are you today, Andrew?
Very well, thank you. Slightly nervous, but very well.
And you're going to be standing on the plinth shortly.
I am.
How come you decided to put yourself forward for this?
And the initial one, I initially found out about it, obviously I didn't think I'd get a chance to do it, so I applied thinking that I wasn't going to get a place, so I was highly delighted when I got one. But I initially saw it and thought, what a fantastic idea, absolutely fantastic idea. I love Anthony Gormley's work and I thought this was amazing.
And so you're going to be taking part today. And how did you decide how to use your hour on the plinth?
I had several ideas, and I wanted to use something that was interactive with the people that are looking at me and trying to do something with them. So I kind of wanted to do something that they could take away with themselves. I've seen a few people give their sweets out and stuff like that, but I wanted to give some. So I'll actually be spraying a piece of art, if you like, and sliding it down a tube, and anybody can take one that want one.
Could you say a little bit more about that, what you'll be doing?
It's basically, I've cut a stencil, like a graffiti type stencil, and it's a little picture of the One Another logo. And at the bottom I've sprayed, this is art. And then people can shout up, and if they don't like it, I'll put a little arrow at the bottom and spray in not. So it says, this is not art.
Okay.
So they have a choice which print they take away, one that says this is art, or one that says this is not art.
And why did you decide to do this?
I believe it's art, but I also know that a lot of people out there think it's not art. So I think art is personal choice, personal preference, and I'm happy to say that if somebody thinks by me standing up there is not art, I'm quite happy with that. I actually think it is.
And why did you decide to do the spray painting?
Really just try and interact with people. I don't know whether it'll work. I've no idea. It possibly could, it possibly couldn't. And really just trial and error, to be honest. Just try it.
Is this something that you've done before, something like
I
this?
Do it for my own entertainment. I've sprayed stencils for a while, just for myself, just to sit there, to cut them, to spray them. But it's not something that I do. I'm not a graffiti artist, I'm not Banksy.
where do you do your graffiti art?
Just really at home on paper. I'm not someone that goes out onto streets and spraying and stuff like that. I just quite like to sit at home, do my cutting, spray it if I like it. I normally do. I've done all sorts of things really. That's just to keep myself entertained, amused.
Mm. And where do you put your work?
I'd normally spray several of them, pick the best that I like, and then I file it away. So I've got one of it, and then I always keep the stencils. So.
And how did you get into this?
Mainly through Banksy, through getting seeing things that I thought were very clever, and then I got into the whole graffiti art scene thing. So I really enjoy that, and say, but I wouldn't say I'm not a graffiti artist as such, but I do enjoy that side of it.
What sort of stencils do you make?
Normally on acetate, and normally I try to do things that are amusing. So it'd be the last one I cut before this one was a picture of Batman. And at the side of it, he had a Robin Reliant. So it was Batman and Robin. So it's just amusing things, not necessarily, sometimes political, but not always. It's something, if a daft idea comes into your head, spray it, see what it looks like. And then if it looks good, use it. If it doesn't, throw it away.
Do you make other sorts of work as well?
I try. It's meant to say, all of it is for my entertainment, enjoyment. I sit and I draw, I doodle. My wife says I'm a prolific doodler. If she's talking to me, my other hand is doodling on a piece of paper. That's just what I do.
And what does it give to you, these creative outlets that you have?
It's kind of what I live for. I love it. I absolutely love it. With my heart and my soul, I love it. It's you know, most people have a hobby or whatever, but I think this is part of me. I say it's not really some, most of the time. This is the first time I've ever given it to somebody else, so that feels slightly unnerving because I've never given it to somebody before. I've done it for me, and it didn't matter what it looked like. And this time I'm giving it to somebody else, so they could possibly backfire on me drastically, and that's the bit I'm also nervous about.
Is it important to you that you get a positive response?
I'd like a positive response, but I wouldn't say it's mega important, but obviously I would like one. If it's really, really negative, I don't think it'll never put me off, because it's what I enjoy doing. But it might dampen my spirits maybe a little bit.
What do you do for a living?
This is very odd. Me and my wife own a bridal shop, sell wedding dresses. So it's a bit of a sideline. We've done that for the last 5 years. And before that, a bit diverse, I was 21 years at British Rail. So that's my working career, really.
And what sparked the transition?
My wife calls it my midlife crisis. I got to just before, how old will I be? About 40-ish. Had all the kids living with me. My wife was happy in her job. I wasn't happy in my job. And it seemed that we needed somebody to pack up work to look after the children. So it seemed, well, why would she pack up a job that she enjoys when I could pack up my job? So I just packed in work and looked after kids and became a house husband. And then eventually, when the kids are older, we decided to start our own business.
And how are you finding that?
It's challenging. I've never worked so hard in my entire life. It takes over all your waking hours, 24 hours a day. You're always talking about it. You're always thinking about it. But all in all, yeah, I like it. Yeah.
You must meet a lot of people.
What I would say is that the people that we meet are normally coming into you for a happy event, so you tend to meet everybody's happy, even if in their normal day-to-day life they're maybe a bit pessimistic or whatever. When they come into us, they're happy, genuine, they're looking forward to an event, which is quite probably a bit like yourself. They're coming in and they're excited, and in normal life they might not be like that, but then when they're coming to see you, they are.
And if we can backtrack a little bit, can I ask you to say why you were unhappy with your first job with Network, with British Rail?
British Rail. I think it was the mundaneness of it. I had a job that was a storeman, and I could. It was the mundaneness, the monotony of walking in. When you, not that I am creative, but when you like, it felt a bit like you check your brain out when you walk through the door. Because that day was going to be exactly the same as the day before, and the day before that. So the monotony was harder than the job. The job might not have been. It was a decent job. It's just the monotony was really bad.
And how did giving it up affect you?
It was very hard at first, because I went from having. Seeing people on a day-to-day basis, seeing adults and talking to adults and having a laugh with my mates and everything, to being at home with 5 kids. So that was very hard, because I was waiting for my wife to come home to have some adult conversation, because all you've done is pick toys up and run round and run somebody here and run somebody there and cook this and cook that, which is what everybody says is the housewife's role. So I know exactly what that feels like. And you want, when you're walking, you're wanting somebody to talk to you on an adult conversation on an adult wavelength.
And you did that for 5 years, did you say?
About 5 years.
You said it was hard. What did it Did it change you as a person, do you think?
Definitely.
That period of your life?
Definitely changed me as a person. Definitely became more understanding of what the so-called a woman's role is, because to run a house is harder work than going to work for British Rail, which is the job I did before. Yeah, if you look at it from the outside, it would appear that is the easier role. It's not. It's a lot harder. It's 20 times harder than going to clocking in a factory at 7 o'clock and clocking out at 5. A lot harder.
Mm-hmm. And now you've got your own business, you and
yeah.
your wife. Has that changed you again?
Yeah, because I think it's brought me and my wife sometimes closer together. But what I would say is, because it never goes away, you tend to find you're talking business at some weird and wonderful place. So you don't clock off at 5 o'clock. So you'll be sat in some restaurant or something, and something all of a sudden, my wife will blurt something out about, oh, can you remember so and so and so and so. And then we start talking about issues that you wouldn't normally talk. So yeah, it does, because it does take over your life. Again, that's kind of why I like to, when I do my spraying, I've got a separate room, I go in, I sit down, I sit nice and quiet, put a bit of music on, and that's my relaxation time.
And what music do you like to listen to?
I listen to anything that's good, anything at all, anything. I've no really hang ups or anything. I love Elton John. I love the Smiths. I love all the family's been brought up on the beautiful South. It's a recurring thing that we've seen them 20 times as a family, together, separately, everything. And the kids are really, if you walk into the room, they're not listening to today's music, they're listening to Beautiful South. So that's kind of what we do.
And you mentioned you've got 5 children.
Yeah.
That's quite a big family.
Yeah, we are two joined together, both been divorced, and I've got 3 and my wife's got 2. So we're all together.
And how is that to have such a big family?
It brings massive rewards that also can cause tremendous heartache and running about, and sometimes you feel that your backside's not touching the floor because you're running about after somebody or running somebody somewhere. But all in all, I wouldn't swap it.
And your wife, you said you've got children from a previous
yes.
marriage, is that right?
Yeah, I've got three children from a previous marriage, and my wife's got 2 from her previous marriage, so we've known together.
And how has that worked? Has that been quite all right for the children?
Yeah, it's been absolutely fine. It was, because when we got actually met, like my stepchildren was, Amy was 3 and Dean was 7. So basically I've been there for him, and he's now 18 and she's 16. So they've known more of me than anybody else. They all call me dad, and it's just normal. It's just normal.
What about other elements of your life, maybe sort of where you're from?
Alright, I've been in Doncaster really all my life. I've been in the same area of Doncaster for 42 years, and I've only just moved to a different area, so last year. So it's, I would say, not the most exciting life.
What are the areas that you've lived in?
I lived in a place called Scoresby for the longest amount of time, and I've just moved to a place called Sprotborough. It's not a million miles away, it's only probably 5 or 6 miles away. But it's kind of the first time I've had a move as such, away out of that area.
And what made you stay in Doncaster?
If I'm 100% honest, I've no idea. I've no affinity really to Doncaster. But I do. I feel quite proud to be from Yorkshire. I don't think I could move anywhere else outside of Yorkshire. But Doncaster itself, I don't really hold a great affinity to it. It's just kind of where I've been brought up. That's all, really.
Would you like to say a little bit about your partner,
Paula? Yeah, I've been married to Paula for 10, 11 years. I've been married before, and I love Paula with my heart and my soul. She's definitely my soulmate. She's encourages me to do everything that I want to do. She, I don't know how I'd cope without her now. I've no idea. To think that when I was previously married, I thought that was it, and I now realise that that wasn't it at all. I've got somebody now who I worship with. I'd give my life for her. She's amazing.
And what's important to you in your life going forwards?
My family, 100% my family. I have a daughter who's 21. She's struggling to get a job, and I think until she's actually on her feet and going forward, I'll not. That's where all my effort is going to at the moment. When she's sorted and she's settled down and everything, then that's absolutely fine. But until she's actually on her feet herself, then I feel like it's my job to help her to get where she needs to get, whether that be financially or supporting her or just a chat on the phone from wherever she is. Mm-hmm. But I feel that's what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. How have your friends and family reacted to your participation in one another?
I think I'm absolutely mental. They've no idea why I'm doing it. They know I'm scared of heights, so why would you volunteer to stand up there when you're scared of heights? Everybody thinks I'm, everybody's supportive, but thinks I'm daft. So, because they know that heights is a massive problem for me, so why would you volunteer to do that?
Have you had a bad experience with heights?
No, not really. I've just had this fear for a long time of heights, and at some part I thought about backing out, and then I thought you really have to sometimes conquer your fears, and like I say, 32,000 people have applied for it, and I really want to do it. I should just do it, and that's why I'm doing it.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about your background, like your upbringing?
Oh yeah, my mum and dad are still together, been together for, they met when they were 18, I think-ish. They're still together. They've been, I have a sister, Amanda. Not a lot really to say, really. I had a lovely upbringing. My mum and dad did everything for me, everything all together. They were supportive of everything I've ever done. So that's about all I can say, really.
And where are your parents from, Doncaster as well?
Yeah, it's just outside Doncaster, it's a place called Mex. Well, one's from Mexborough and one's from Bolton. It's Bolton on Dearne, not Bolton. So, yeah, that's it really.
Do you know much about your family history going back any further?
Not a lot, no. My dad was brought up by his granddad, so there's a generation missing in the middle. So, as far as my dad's side, no, I don't know a lot. I can ish go back a little bit with my mother's side, but not much further. But to be fair, I'm not kind of interested in that anyway, so.
And who are you doing this for today?
Me.
What sort of experience do you hope to have? To get out of this?
To get out of it. I just want to be part of it. I think it'll be one of them things where I will not forget that I've done it, and I will know. I'll carry this with me for forever, because I'll have been part of it, and that's all I want out of it. That's all. That's it.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.